If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
See, this is why I believe with all of my heart that we must go through various trials and tests to test our love quotient. We love people until our friends say something about them. Maybe you'll have a friend that'll speak negatively about Pastor Aaron. Up until that time, you thought he was, oh, praise the Lord, he is such an asset to Bishop Lambert. He's a son, and Bishop Lambert can depend on him. And when he stands up and teaches and preaches, his teaching and preaching goes along with the house. And he's not trying to demonstrate arrogance or anything. He's just really with Bishop. Hallelujah. I'm glad Bishop chose him to be with him. But then your friend comes up and says, you know, the other day, Pastor Aaron said something to me, and I resent him for it. And because it's your friend, you now resent him. Now, he never did anything to you. Now you question my judgment. Why would Pastor put somebody up there like that? He don't know how to talk to nobody. I always knew. Look at how he sits up there and crosses his leg. I knew there was something wrong with him. Holy Spirit gives you eyes. I knew there was something wrong with him. Now all of a sudden, why he's standing at the back door greeting people, trying to win people's heart. Before, it was, ooh, he's so loving, he stands at the back and greets people. Isn't that nice? Even Pastor doesn't do that. I tell you, he's really representing the ministry well. But now when your friend tells you something negative, now he's standing back there trying to steal people. He's trying to win them like Absalom. He may get up at a Wednesday Bible study and say, well, you know, Pastor Lambert says so-and-so. And somebody may say, well, do you agree with that? He may say, well, we see things a little differently with that. And in the old days, you would say, oh, well, see, he's allowed to do that because he's already shared that with Pastor. But now, it's, see, there he even trying to say the pastor's wrong. Why? Because one disgruntled person went to you and changed your love quotient. The Bible says when you slander your brother and sister, you commit murder. And no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. We tell people to flee fornicators. We tell them, because Paul said that in the book of Corinthians. He said, if you have somebody living that lifestyle, run away. Why? Because there is a self-imposed judgment coming to them, and you don't want to be under it. But I want to tell you something else, that when you are under someone whose teaching and preaching and conversation is against the servant of God, you better run. You better run as fast as you can. You better get out of there, because I will tell you what Korah, Dathan, and Abiram did. They stood up and they said, Moses, you think you're holy, but you're wrong. And 250 people joined him. And Moses did not even defend himself. Moses stood up and said, all right, if I am a man of God, God is going to do something that he's never done before. He said, but if I'm not a man of God, he said, then nothing will happen to these people. And before he finished talking, the ground opened up and swallowed Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Why? Because they spoke against God's man. You can't stand for God. And these were leaders in the tribe. You can't stand for God and speak against God's servants. Run! Run swiftly. Judgment is so sure that I find myself in travail. In travail! God sent me a message and said, how long will you mourn, seeing that I've rejected these people? Not because of you individually or me individually, but because they don't walk in love. You thought it was your ministry. No, it's God. It's his love that promotes you. You thought I was holding you back and not letting you preach. Is that you don't have a message because you haven't been perfected in love. You see, love will make you submit. Praise God, I submit. It's that pride that says, I gotta go do my own thing. I gotta go do my own thing. Because it's burning in me. I had ministry burning in me when I was at my home church. It was burning me up. So I taught youth Bible school, taught the adult Bible school, worked in 3 and 4 different ministries, got on the 24-hour prayer chain. I did everything my man of God wanted me to do. Ministry was burning in me, but I never thought, go out and start a church. I thought, how much more can I serve him? Lady Lambert lived off the back of me for the first 5 years of our marriage while I was doing ministry, serving my pastor, because I loved him. Never thought to go start anything. And even when called of God to start it, I went to him to find out if I should. We don't see love today. We see self-righteousness, individualism that leads to arrogance. And the Bible says arrogance leads to fall. This is why church membership is so important to me. Don't join a church where Jesus is not Lord. Don't join a church where the word of God isn't the final authority. In the United States of America, supposedly, the Constitution is the final authority, supposedly. But we're going to go with that because I'm not here to denigrate our political leaders. The Bible says pray for them. So we'll just say that the Constitution is the final authority. What's the final authority in church? The word of God, not the pastor. The word of God, so much so that even if the pastor is not teaching and preaching and living the Bible, you don't correct them. The elders and the pastors and the deacons sit with them to try to reason with them. And if they don't get it right, the Bible says you bring them before the church. And if they don't hear the church, the Bible says you put them out. And don't you ever let my life, if it gets to the place where I'm not moving in the love of God, don't you sit under me. I don't care how much you think you love me, don't you sit under me. Don't you dare, don't you insult God by staying in a church where the anointing is no longer present. Because if you don't have the love of God deposited in your heart, demonstrated from the pulpit, reflected in every ministry in this place, don't you stay, because your soul is all you have. How does this work? In Romans chapter 12, well, 1 John chapter 2. I got a few minutes. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 9 says, anyone who says he's walking in the light of Christ but dislikes his fellow man is still in darkness. I like this translation because the King James says hates. And you, in this generation, we will say, oh, I don't hate you. But the word translated in the Greek means dislike. Now I'm going to say something because you're my 730 people. You're the spiritual people. Watch this. This is going to shock you. You are not authorized to dislike anybody. You say, oh, well, I just dislike what they do. The problem with that is while you may be vindicated in that statement, the problem with that is that we don't know why they do what they do. So we wind up saying we dislike what they do, but without a motivator, we dislike them. Androcles stumbles upon a lion in the forest, and the lion is nasty, growls, and he's authoritative and pastoral and just, you know, a leader and destructive. And as he reaches up his paw in a moment of that physical angst, Androcles sees a thorn. And he reaches up and he pulls the thorn out of the lion's paw. The lion is suddenly remedied. Something has happened. He no longer feels pain, but he's still a lion. He trots away, because he's thankful that the pain is gone. The pain that made him angry. The pain that made him vicious. The pain that made him a killer. But he's still a lion. And so they capture him for the games in the Colosseum. Androcles is taken prisoner by the regime in the political system. They tie him to a stake, and the cry goes out, release the lions. And the lions come out of their cages, running towards the newly discovered prey. This lion looks up, and as he gets closer to the one he's targeted, he recognizes, this is the one who showed me kindness. And he stops in his path. The story concludes there. The Greek fable is written for us to understand the intent of the story was don't judge people by their external actions, for there may be something hidden that's causing them to respond in that manner. God help me. And that's what Jesus is saying. In a world filled with sin and unbelief and mistreatment, some of you, unfortunately, have been mistreated ever since you were a child. And you took it in because you couldn't fight back as a child. You were small. You were innocent. You were weak. You were a victim. And you took it in. You took the abuse from your relatives and from people in the world. And you just kept piling it in and piling it in because you couldn't fight back. And then you became an adult. And your speech changed. So I ain't letting nobody hurt me again. But unfortunately, that emotion doesn't turn off. It's not selective. And that's why I tell people in many instances, the person that's getting your bad behavior isn't the person that caused it. They're really getting what's left over from the other person. And don't you think God knows that we are capable of holding on to hurt feelings interminably for as long as we need to justify what's in us? Maybe you've been wronged in a way that you can never understand. But how do you feel about that person who stole your identity? How do you feel about that person who killed your family member, took your child from you, took your uncle or your aunt away from you? How do you feel about them? Do you want them to die a horrible death? I did. I said to God, let us find out. Let me and Gary find out who they are. We don't want them to get arrested. We just want to find out who they are. I would go down to my father's neighborhood and I would give people money, crack addicts. I would give them money to ask them if they knew anything because I wanted this person to kill my daddy. I didn't love him. I wasn't even thinking about bringing him to Christ. I was thinking of introducing him to God. And God said, no, I can't do that to you. So you're not going to find out. And how many of us seated in here today have undergone a hurt of some kind? The devil knows who to strike. He'll strike somebody in your family. He'll let somebody in your family go through something, and you'll feel that what they went through is not fair. And the people who responded, it's not fair what they did to my son or my daughter or my husband or my wife. It's not fair, so therefore you take it out on them, not knowing the full reason. You may justify the behavior of your family member, but God didn't. How do you deal with that?
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
2316A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church. A place where miracles still happen.
Summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in Bethel's summer program, Camp Bethel. This year, we will be celebrating our 20th year anniversary. In addition to Bible lessons preached by Camp Director and Youth Pastor Wayne Diggs, Camp Bethel offers weekly trips to exciting places.
Hershey Park.
The Shamity.
Kimmel Beach.
Funplex.
Join us for these trips and much, much more this summer at Camp Bethel. Registration has begun. Call 215-885-2585 to enroll your child today.